to personally thank Harold for all that he does and all of the hard work that he puts into making it possible. You come in early, come in at between 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning during the week, anytime in the office, and you will see a handful of people, usually the Bradleys and Betty and Larry Jordan, maybe a couple others, sitting around a table and counting money every day, counting money in buckets, paint buckets filled with change. There's a lot of commitment, a lot of time, a lot of ministry, and a lot of good that happens because of the Salvation Army. So thank you. I'd like to invite our kids up this morning. Let me pray with you guys before you head off to Children's Church and we worship. Looking good in the neighborhood. You have a sock in your pocket. Maybe it got in there when it got washed. Is that possible? Let's see. Hey, John. Good. Okay, I think we'll be good. I think we're good. All right, we got everybody? Okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much today for our children, for the blessing that they are to us and the blessing that they are to you. We pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct them and lead them by your mighty hand. Amen. All right, see you guys. Have fun. Have fun. See ya. This morning, I'm walking through the foyer right around 10 o'clock, and getting ready to come in the sanctuary, make sure everything's set up. I have everything, have my stone and all the things that I need. And Hattie just comes walking through the foyer. I'm like, you're supposed to be in Sunday school. She was like, I was with the boys today. I was like, okay, so don't worry. If the pastor's child gets lost, then it's quite possible. We just have random children roaming our church at any time. He was in his mid-80s. No children of his own. His servants were going to be the heirs of his huge fortune. And it was in those moments where he was very uncertain of what was to come next. Very discouraged, because what would his legacy look like? And then God spoke. God called him out to stare at the heavens, to look at the sand, to look out upon the fertile crescent of land in which his family lived. And God promised him this. One day, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand. But how was that going to happen? It looked so very hopeless. For he had no children of his own, and he was in his 80s, which is old. At least to be having children. We can't ever take God's promises for granted. God works in mysterious and wonderful and majestic ways, ways that we can't even begin to fathom, ways like 99-year-old men fathering infants. And Isaac was born, the child of promise. One day the land in which he lived would all belong to his descendants. And they would number the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore. That in this promise God had also confirmed with Abraham, there would be 400 years of distress for his family. That they would live in captivity. That they would be lorded and ruled over by someone else. But that at the end of those 400 years, God would set them free. And God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. And God did exactly what he said would happen. the people of Israel came out of slavery, and as they are fleeing Egypt, as they are fleeing Pharaoh, as the sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters and great-great-grandsons and granddaughters of Abraham stood along the sea, they watched as the God of miracles split it open for them to escape Pharaoh and his army. They traversed through the water, walls on each side of them, dry ground under their feet, as they entered into a place of roaming, a place of wandering. I'm usually pretty hard on the Israelites because they wandered around for 40 years to get someplace that could have taken them 40 days. But sometimes we have to roam in the wilderness a while for us to realize all that God has created us to be. Finding our identity in Christ isn't something that takes 40 days. Sometimes it takes 40 years. And figuring out who they were in God as the people of God took a while of roaming. Took Moses on mountaintops and people in disobedience. Forgiveness, sin, learning, life, growing, building, sharing together. All of those things had to happen as the people of Israel figured out who they were. Moses' temper got away with him, and so striking a stone caused him to not be able to be the one to lead them into the promised land, that land in which their forefather Abraham had stood so very long ago, the land that God had promised them. Joshua, however, did get to take on that task. He became the new leader of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel all gathered together at the Jordan River. On the other side of their wandering, on the other side of the desert, they were finally entering into the land that God had promised them. The 12 tribes of Israel. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had already claimed their land on the other side of the river, but the rest of the promised land was yet to come. And so those three tribes took up arms and led this group. I can only imagine what it was like to stand on the edge of the Jordan. To look across, about 100 feet wide, and usually only about 10 feet deep. But this happened to be the time of year where the waters were swelling and gushing over. The rains were high. It was fast and furious. The water was high. The river was turbulent, and the people had to get across. If our numbers are accurate, there were approximately 2.5 million Israelites at that point. Do you get it? Abraham, dude with no kids, gets one son. A promise that he can't see, that he will never see. He will never see come to fruition. And 500 years later, 2.5 million people stand at the banks of a river ready to conquer what God had promised them. The Levites, the tribe of Levi, were all of the Levitical priests, and one of their roles was to oversee the Ark of the Covenant. We're fortunate. You see, Jesus came, and he died, and he didn't leave us alone. And now we did get to experience the power and presence of the Holy God in our lives each and every day. We don't have to go to some to find God among us. And yet there they are with this Ark of the Covenant where God's presence resides. It was a very serious task. The tribe of Levi, the Levitical priest, pick up on long sticks carrying the ark. God commands them to walk into the River Jordan. They step, and the river stops. It's nice whenever we can see miracles happen and we see the evidence of it right in front of our faces, isn't it? It's nice whenever we can see that God has made a perfect pathway. I find it interesting that the river didn't stop right there. It wasn't a wall like in the Red Sea where they're walking between walls of water. It was 20 miles up the river where the water stopped. The people crossed over, but I'm not sure that they ever saw the end of the river. For them, it was just dry ground. The 40,000 troops from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over first, leading the way for the people of God. The Levites stood in the middle, holding the Ark of the Covenant. And the Israelites began to cross. It takes a while for 2.5 million people to go anywhere. And if the math is correct, the best guesstimate is that it probably took them about a month for everyone to cross. They would have been setting up tents and living life in the middle of this dried up river. When I went on vacation to the down into the Smoky Mountains, several years ago, we went and played in I call them creeks, and so people get offended sometimes when I'm like, it's a creek, and they're like, no, that's a river. I'm like, we'll see. It was probably a river. It looked like a creek to me, and so we go and we step in, and it's interesting. You'd think with all that water flow, rough place, the bottom solid, smooth, that there wouldn't be any jagged places or that the ground would be pretty. But if you walk into a river, sometimes you find that it's sandy and muddy and that you kind of slip and you're having to get your footing. I can imagine being a mom trying to get my kids across the dry River Jordan. Get off that rock. Will you cut it out? No, do not pick that stone up. Put it back. Put it back right now. Right now, put that stone back. All of the things that took place as they're crossing over. The life that was lived in the middle of a dried up river. Once that month-long journey was up, the people of Israel took time to remember. You see, their journey wandering around in a desert was bookended by the miracles that God had created, splitting waters in half for them to cross and pass. Things that never could have happened naturally, God did magnificently. The water split at the Red Sea and they entered. The water splits at the Jordan and they exit. And they have 40 years of life and story to tell. And they want to make sure that that happens and that it happens well. A plaque on the wall wasn't going to work. The story had to be told. And so two memorials were set up. All 12 tribes of Israel each gathered a stone. Not so much like the ones that you have in your hand, or under your seat, or in your lap, wherever you put yours. Each stone would have been approximately 100 pounds. The men would have had to have hefted it up on top of their shoulders to stack the stones. The first set of stones was stacked right in the middle of the River Jordan where the priest had stood, where God had been, where the miracle happened. And every year when the waters, the tops of those rocks would have shown. And people would have seen that that was the place. They also took 12 more rocks. Joshua had them set those up in a circle. And there they created a memorial, an altar. I think it's very interesting that at the end of Joshua chapter 4, When we look at everything that's happened, everything that's taken place, all that God has done over these hundreds of years, fulfilling a promise that he had given them. They set up stones, and he says, the purpose of these stones is so that you will remember and you will tell the story. You'll tell the story over and over and over again. Your children will hear from your very lips all that God has done. And in Joshua chapter 4, verse 24, he says this, he did all of this. God did all of it. From Abraham, all of this, to the crossing of the River Jordan, to claiming the promise that God had given. They did all so that the nations of the earth, the people of the earth, would know that their God, our God, is powerful. He is mighty. The Tip City Church of the Nazarene began. Reverend Moore bought a little church that had been a German Baptist place in downtown Tip City, and they began a congregation there. For $1,000, they got a building and just started reaching out. Started loving on neighbors and friends, planting a church in a place where they thought that it could grow. Where people could learn about Jesus. Where children's lives would be transformed. Where moms and dads would become better parents. Where they could serve, being missional in nature and in life. So that those in their community who were lost and dying and needed Jesus could come and be a part of a body that met together. About 40 years later, we moved from downtown to the facility that you are in today. Now, lots of changes have happened. A lot have happened in the last year and a half. Buildings were built, the daycare and preschool was started too. Thousands of families being loved on by our preschool and teachers and families. The doors are open every day of the week. People coming in, hearing the news. People are being sent out. The president of Olivet University attended here. Lots of pastors and preachers began their footing on these very grounds. Little infants that were busy crying in nurseries became adults who followed after God, serving him with all that they are. Hundreds of people have come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Hundreds have been baptized in this very sanctuary. We've sat around each other's tables and we've eaten meals. We've gathered together at this table and shared in the union and in the fellowship of Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have seen at the altars people anointed and miracles happen. Bodies that were broken be healed. We've also said goodbye to many that we have loved and we have lost. We've been amazed in our little over 80 years, $1 million that has gone directly to mission work all around the world. Thousands of people have been discipled, growing in grace and the wisdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dozens of teens walked through the doors of Spikes, teens that never would have been ministered to had it not been the passion of someone here at TC NAS. The story of crossing the River Jordan is a story of new starts, of new beginnings. I think if we were to turn the Old Testament into a movie sequel, then this very point in Scripture, Joshua chapter 4, would be the very end, the very climax of one of those series of movies. They are at a high point. They are at a point of God's working. They are a point of miracles. They are at a point of transition and transformation. And what was so important? The important thing was that God was powerful, that He was working, that He was transforming. I'd like you to take a look at your rock. If you didn't get one, you really need one. So please make sure that you have one. And I think there's some out in the basket of the foyer. If you guys still need them, we'll make sure that you get one. I want you to take a glance at this rock. Now mine, they all came from Alan Swafford's driveway. We dug them up out of the dirt yesterday. Mine still has a little bit of dirt on the bottom of it. It might represent me well. Every single one of them is different. Your rock does not look like anybody else's rock here. Not maybe made of the same stuff, it may be the same color, maybe similar in texture and size and depth, and mine's a little bit porous. Some others may be very solid. Yours might be smooth. Mine's rough. Mine has a little bit of glit in it, a little bit of glimmer, some glittery, shiny rock that's in there. Each one of you is unique. You're nothing like the person sitting next to you. We might think that it's true. We might try to hide ourselves well as we sit in sanctuaries where everyone is dressed nice and we put on our Sunday best to come to a place of worship. But in all honesty, we've all got rough places. Maybe a little bit of dirt on the bottom. We've all had different experiences. Each rock is of the nature that it is because of the weather and the elements and the life that it has been through. Your life looks very similar. Though oftentimes jagged edges or our brokenness sealed up for others to not be able to see, the truth is that you know and God knows the truth. This rock also represents all of the good and beauty that God has done. You see, God has gifted each one of us for His special purpose. You have not been left alone, for God is with you. He knew you in your mother's womb. He knew the hairs on your head and still does to this day. Some of you take a little more counting than others. He understands who you are. And the greatness is, He loves you just as you are. There is no crack that He does not see, no pore that He hasn't explored, no brokenness that He does not want to heal. He knows you. And each rock individually doesn't do a whole lot. But I just went and sat that rock in Alan's driveway back where it belongs, it wouldn't mean much at all. As a matter of fact, it probably would be a deterrent if I just sat it in the middle of his driveway. He'd get pretty irritated. Why in the world don't you stick that thing in the middle of my driveway? That rock doesn't belong there. By itself, it may do some good. But it's when the rocks come together that they stop up rivers. It's when rocks come together that we see mountainous transformation take place. God has done great things through our 80 years as a local congregation. And it seems to me that today, we have a decision to make about what the rest of our journey is going to look like. As our board prepares to meet in just a couple of weeks for a retreat, as we gather, as we reform, as we revision what God has called us to be, we have to know, we have to trust that the God of miracles has so much more in store. That there is a land of promise. There is a land of hope. There are people who need to know who God is, and we have been given the ability and the tools and the promise to follow after all that God has given us. I'm going to ask you to do something with your rock. We are going to go by sections of time and how long you have been here at TC NAS. I'll give you a minute or two to think about it. Some of you have many years to count, some of you just months. And it's okay if you have to guess. You're not going to ruin it if you're a year or two or five off. And when I call the number of years that you have attended here, I would like for you to come and just sit your rock on this table. And to begin this today, I'd like to make a special invitation to Bill and Jean Bradley and to Jean Baker. If you all would come first and lay your rocks down. As far as I can tell, they have been here the longest. Bill and Jean, it's been about 50 years. Jean, how long has it been for you? Do you know? 56 years that they've attended here. Thank you. For those of you that have been a part of TC NAS for 40 years or more, how about 30 years or more? Twenty. Fifteen. Ten. Five years or more. How about 3 years or more? 2. One year or more. How about 6 months? And anyone less than 6 months, will you bring your rock up at this time? That's a lot of rocks. This group of stones that we have stacked here today is just a small representation of a lot of years. A lot of life, a lot of love, a lot of loss, a lot of memories, a lot of good, but most importantly, a lot of God. All of the years that He has worked in and through us culminated into one representing who we have been, who we are, and promising us, giving us a glimpse of what is to come. As you go from this place today, I would ask you to remember time. Think about the ministries that God has laid upon your heart, the places you have been, the things that you have done. Are there places that you have been and ministries you've been involved in the past that you've gotten out of that you feel like the Lord is leading you back to? Are there new horizons? Are you open to what might be next? Are you spending your years? Have you spent your years being formed by the hand of God, being discipled well and discipling others? Is the Lord etching His story out in your life because you are allowing God to etch your story? Think, pray, seek, and remember. For our God is powerful, for He has done great things. Heavenly Father, we thank You today so much for the amazing God that You are, for all that You have done, for all that You are doing, and for all that You will do. God, I pray that You will lead us by Your mighty hand, that You will form and shape us as You did the Israelites in the desert, and that You will prepare our minds and hearts for what is to come. Help to prepare us just as You prepared them for seeking after Your promise, for declaring Your glory, for living a life that glorifies You, O God. And may all that is done be done so that among the nations, among the people, among those in Tip City, Your name will be made great. And people will go, man, their God is powerful. We love You, Lord, and we pray all of these things in Your name today. Amen. Will you stand with me for the benediction? As you go today, may you remember. May you remember all that God has done. May you be prepared today for all that God is doing. And may you be ready for all that God will do. Amen. You are dismissed.